Hi, it's Mark Sienkiewicz. Last month, I had the pleasure of attending the National Association of Plant Breeders annual meeting in Ames, Iowa. As always, I sat down with this year's Borlaug scholars to talk about their career, where they're headed, and why the Borlaug scholarship is of value to them. The NAPB Borlaug Scholars Program strengthens the plant breeding profession by helping support attendance of future leaders at the NAPB annual meeting. Can weather predict protein traits in soybean? Lisa Vanderlaan thinks so. She's a PhD student at Iowa State University and is a member of the Soynomics Research and Breeding Group. Her research centers around developing tools to breed more climate-resilient soybeans, specifically to heat stress. She also works on breeding high-yield protein soybeans and using machine learning methods to understand how weather affects these traits and can be used to predict them. We sat down last month at the NAPB meeting, where she told me about her work and the benefits of being a Borlaug scholar. Enjoy our chat. Thank you, Lisa, for sitting down with me.
Yeah, it is not a problem.
It's a little known fact about you that people might be surprised to learn.
I love this question because, well, it's a well-known fact now in my lab, but a hobby of mine is, well, I like houseplants. That's not the surprising thing. My favorite thing to grow is pineapple plants. So being here in Iowa, that's kind of surprising for a lot of people that I grow pineapples for fun. But yeah, my apartment is generally always has at least like 4 or 5 pineapple plants at a time. And I'm constantly giving them away because they clonally propagate and they're quite prolific producers. So.
Oh, so you're actually able to get pineapples that you can eat.
I just harvested 2 about 3 weeks ago and I'm propagating 2 new plants from those. So that's probably the fun thing about me, which it also requires a lot of grow lights since I live in a northern climate and they need a lot of light. So I think my neighbors might be suspicious of me at times, but it's just pineapples. In the summer, they see them come outside.
Now, your research centers on developing tools to breed more climate-resilient soybeans, specifically for heat stress.
Yes.
Now, this is a big topic of interest for me because with all the extreme heat this year, I'm not surprised this is a priority for soybean breeders. What are the big challenges you face in breeding heat-resilient soybeans? And then on the flip side of that, what are some big successes that breeders like you are having in this area?
So breeding for heat stress tolerance in soybean is actually very new. The earliest programs this doesn't mean that there weren't soybean breeders out there, but there's not a lot of publications or news out there. The earliest I can find is basically 2020. So we're in the third summer, basically, of any soybean breeders publicly working on this. So that's probably the biggest challenge because there's a lot of information that we don't know yet how these plants are actually going to react. Since soybean is a warm season crop, it was always assumed like it can handle the heat to a degree. But now it's really becoming a concern because, as you said, the heat this summer, just look at Europe a couple weeks ago, how bad they were. So that's probably one of our biggest challenges, that we don't even know exactly every effect that the plant is going to have, that the soybean is going to have. So we don't necessarily know what are the best traits to look at. So for my research right now, like, we're looking at quite a few traits, and some seem like, yes, this would be useful for us to be able to determine susceptibility versus tolerance. And then there's other traits where they work in, say, corn for heat stress tolerance, but it doesn't seem to be that useful for us. So that's probably the biggest challenge. The biggest upside, I would probably say, is that we are starting to pay attention to this. There is a lot of discussion between a lot of us, and then just some of the preliminary stuff that is coming out showing that, yes, there is that good genetic variation, that, yes, we're hoping that we should be able to develop tools that it's not just, oh, well, this is a dead end for us.
Traits and can be used to predict these traits. Now, plant-based protein is another big topic right now, especially where I'm from in Canada. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you're using machine learning to make these predictions? That sounds really cool.
Yeah, so this is actually a pretty fun project. So the lab I work with in Iowa State, we have a really good partnership with several engineering professors and their graduate students as well. So my project when it comes to predicting protein content is in conjunction with some mechanical engineering graduate students as well. So it's a lot of fun collaboration there. So this project is a continuation from a previous grad student where they did deep learning solely for yield production using the uniform soybean trial data, and they did 13 years of data, and we decided to expand that to 30 years of data now. So from the late 80s to about 2018 was the data we're pulling all this from. It's not fun accumulating all the weather records for that, and then also getting all the pedigree records for the tens of thousands of genotypes during that time. But on the actual programming side, I cannot talk about that too much because, like I said, it is a engineering graduate student helping with that. But we are trying to see if, for both yield, protein, and oil, if there are certain weather variables that really seem to be controlling the outcome at the end of the season. And then also there are certain weather parameters that are more important in other weeks of development than there are other times, since we do have planting dates, so we have that information, we have harvest dates, so we theoretically know approximately what stage the plant should be in. So it could be, say, at 10 weeks after planting, the rainfall was very important for protein. I don't think at that early stage rainfall should be something major, but just as an example. So really trying to see what weather parameters could potentially be affecting that end, and then at what growth stage it seems to be important.
How did you first get interested in this whole plant breeding thing?
That is honestly a bit of a long story, so bear with me there. There's three major parts to that. The first part is I grew up on a dairy and just being exposed to all the breeding and genetics there. It's only been in recent years I've really realized that that affected me, but some of my early memories was with my sister, the two of us just going through and reading all the bull proofs for the cattle. That was our for fun when our parents would drop us off in the office, be like, okay, you're helping on the dairy, but you're too young to do this. So sit here with this catalog of bulls, go through that. The other two prongs to that story go back to the year 2011. So I'm originally from Oklahoma, and 2011, that was when we had an extreme drought and heat wave. We had, I think, 110 days in a row that consecutively over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So an extremely hot summer, no rainfall all that summer. So on the dairy, we had to also farm several thousands of acres of primarily corn to feed all the cattle. And I remember that summer just seeing all the corn being wiped out. We could not get water on it fast enough. My parents ended up having to decide to sacrifice half the field because the irrigation, by the time the pivot got all the way around, the corn crop would be burned up. So we basically had to do like a windshield wiper that you'd sacrifice half the field just to get water on the other half to get some yield. But one of the things that was really cool to me that year was we had some really early maturing corn hybrids, and those were the ones that they did. I mean, still not great considering the weather conditions that they were going through, but all told, they did so much better than everything else because those were the ones that were more drought resilient. And I just remember thinking, that is so cool that we can actually use genetics to create something like that. And like, I was not really aware of plant breeding at that time. Then the following year, I was a junior in high school, and I was taking the one AP science class that my small town high school offered, and that was environmental science. And as a farm kid, you know, taking environmental science class, it's always a little nerve-wracking because it's just going to be like, are they only going to vilify agriculture and not be like, yes, these are some of the shortcomings, but there's room for improvement. Luckily, it took that latter route of, yes, there are some problems, but we're trying our best. And one of the things that was really introduced was plant biotechnology and plant breeding. So that was a year after that major drought, and then I already had that genetics love from the cattle, and then just learning about these tools, and it's just like, this is amazing. So I went into my freshman year of undergrad going into, I want to go plant breeding, I want to do plant breeding, and I've stuck with it now for 8 years. I'm now 2 degrees down for that plant breeding. I'm in my final one, and I've not looked back.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you before I let you go, is we're here in Ames, Iowa for the NAPB annual meeting. You are a Borlaug Scholar. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Why is a scholarship like this valuable for you in your career, and where are you going from here once you finish your PhD?
I think a scholarship like this, it's so invaluable to me to be able to have that mentor. I ideally want to go into academia, although at the end of the day, it's also wherever we can find a job. And just for me, having that mentor, getting to pick their brain about some of the process and some of the decisions that they made, and especially as a woman in science also, that is a huge thing for me, that to have another woman mentor to be like, yes, see, we are present in the field. Because just yes, you're in the field tours, you count. Just like, oh, I'm the only woman in this group. So that makes it fun at times. So it's nice having those mentors and having that representation. And then, like I said, ideally, I would like to go into academia. And one of the reasons why is I love the mentoring aspect. So I love having mentors. And then whenever we have undergrad students in the lab that are interested in potentially going into plant breeding, I love being able to give them that advice and helping them through the grad school process of this is what you need to do to figure it out. And then if you're interested in research, these are some of the things to consider. So ideally, that's what I would like to do. At the end of the day, I want to stay seated really in research. That is where my passion is at. So a plant breeding program at a university where I'm actively developing cultivars, but also being able to have that research is my ideal position. But I would just be happy also just in general getting out in the field and just being around the plants and getting to make those selections also just makes me very happy.
Well, yeah, part of the Borlaug Scholars Program is you are paired with a mentor.
Yes.
Who is your mentor?
Dr. Peggy Ozias Akins from University of Georgia.
Ah, Peggy.
Yeah.
And what's it like working with her?
She's been really nice so far, yeah. She's been great. We met virtually once before the meeting, and then she's been trying to help me get some connections while here at the meeting, so it's been good.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for sitting down with me.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity.
For more coverage of this year's NAPB meeting, visit seedworld.com/NAPB2022. Thanks for listening.